call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we can't face Serpy's flag?
Then the people have to turn around. That's not good.
Okay. What about us?
We don't care about us.
Okay. All right. Item three, roll call.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
John Steinberg.
Here. A quorum being present. Item four, minutes of the meetings for March 11, 2019, March 18, 2019. And April 1st, 2019, presented to board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additions, corrections? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item five, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, there were no sign-ups this evening.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to item six, administrator's report.
Wonderful. I do have one item. This last week, I had the opportunity to visit with the Women's Club, Pleasant Prairie Women's Club. And during their meeting, they were discussing about an opportunity that our administrative staff had presented to both them and the Historical Society. And they are excited and enthusiastic, and I would like to just share with the board. Recently, the county approached the village asking us to begin preparations for this coming year will be the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage or the approval of the 19th Amendment of the Constitution. And the county is in process of establishing some plans and asked for all the surrounding communities to also consider ideas for their community. And not jokingly, but as kind of a rudimentary thought process, our staff had discussed maybe some nice ideas, like perhaps planting a tree at all the polling locations or something of that nature to commemorate the event. And we decided to bring the Pleasant Prairie Women's Club to the table to just discuss thought processes. And when I had pitched that idea originally, they're like, oh, we can do much better than that. And I think I was the only male in the room, and so I slowly backed away, and it was amazing to see the collaboration and the thought processes that came forward. But as they were discussing, they were talking about the history of that movement and the desire to highlight that history. And so that then engaged us with the Pleasant Prairie Historical Society. I had the opportunity to talk about some initiatives that they were doing, and the thought process came of with the completion of the Dublin School and the potential for that lower level potentially serving as a polling place for the village in the future. And that got excitement. And the thought process then stemmed to being able to maybe do a ribbon cutting for the event and doing some type of celebration or some type of event to recognize women's suffrage at the date that the county was proposing. I think it's August 26th. And so in any event, going to the Women's Club meeting this last Thursday, there was a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and they ultimately voted to proceed forward with planning and establishing an event. And I know that the Historical Society is working hard to create a plan to finish out the lower level of the Dublin School. And I think that they're intent on doing that. And so, anyways, in any event, I thought it was a great community initiative and engagement piece, and was excited to see the level of engagement coming from both these organizations, and just wanted to highlight and share and to encourage the board to look forward to next August. I don't know, Gene, if you wanted to add anything, or John, if you wanted to add anything from the Historical Society. But in general, I was very much enthusiastic from the event last Thursday night with the Women's Club. So with that, that's all I have.
Gene, anything to add?
Just that the Historical Society is very excited and anxious to finish things off and to open up the building next August. And some of our first exhibits, we are working with our Dublin School Manager as well as a number of other people to put together some really neat exhibits that highlight the women's suffrage movement, the Pleasant Prairie Women's Club, that highlight other notable and influential women in Kenosha County over the last many, many years. And so we just think, as a cooperative effort, it will really turn out to be a great event that day, and we'll highlight, just like Kenosha County will, all the different things that have happened over the last 100 years and the impact that women have made in the community. So we just think that there's lots of opportunity to do some really neat things.
Do we have any old voting machines left, Mike?
We actually have one. It was donated to us by Snap-on Tools. Snap-on Tools from the 1960s, along with the story and the history. Actually it was Don Ruck's son and wife that donated through Snap-on, along with some history, and we think that that would be a very neat piece to have on display, along with a really neat story in that lower level.
Did you have any instructions?
Yes, we do have the instructions, and we do have some really neat photographs and things like that of people using the machines.
They're almost like a sophisticated nail cutter, because whenever you get your fingers in there working on the levers, it was snap.
We also were able to locate a number of photos and stories from the 1960s and 70s and pictures of Pleasant Prairie. With people standing by these voting machines. So we were able to start to pull a lot of these old pieces together. So it'll be a pretty unique display, at least in the lower level. So I think it'll be interesting how this all comes together over the next 18 months.
President Steinbrink, I said that I was complete, but there is one other item that if I can interject and share with you. Just to give you a quick update on the Community Collaborations Initiative for the Village Green planning. I know that we've been very interested and curious to see how things are moving, and I just wanted to let you know that I believe that last Thursday the event had a bit of a breakthrough, and it was just really enjoyable to watch the different committees, subcommittees that were at the event had an opportunity to really engage with one another and talk about the thought processes that their groups have been discussing. And it was just neat to see that there's actually a plan that's starting to formulate. And I know that our staff, both Tom and Gene, have gotten inundated with several more emails this week. And last week I've received a few asking some really good questions. And so I just want to highlight that initiative is moving forward, I think, in a very good and positive direction. And this week, they're hoping to do a similar task that they did at the first meeting, where they took a map and they kind of put their thoughts onto the map. It will be interesting to see. They're going to kind of do a very similar exercise and see how that's developed or where they're at now in the process. And so I just want to let you all be aware that things are moving very well, and I'm just excited for the momentum that's starting to pick up. We did tear the building down. John, thanks to John and his crew.
I know. My staff gets very excited about special projects like this, so they, anytime there's an opportunity, they always jump right on it. So, yeah, we were able to take a lot of the material and recycle it, I guess, is the one thing I like to add. There was a lot of metal in there that got brought to the scrapyard, a lot of concrete that'll be turned into aggregate, and actually a very minor amount of stuff actually ended up going to the landfill.
That concludes item 6, administrative report. Move on to item 7, new business. First item being item A, Receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider approval of lot line adjustment by owners of properties located at 8415 104th Avenue and 8436 103rd Avenue.
They're on border. That's not good. Slides are out of order. Mr. President, this is a lot line adjustment at the request of Scott Kenalakis and Bradley Bohat, owners of properties located at 8415 104th Avenue and 8436 103rd Avenue. The petitioners are requesting to do a lot line adjustment. In working with their respective attorneys, it was discovered that the land contract dated September 15, 1992, accepted a portion of the legal description of the properties, but the 1995 deed in satisfaction omitted this exception. Therefore, a fence was erected in 1992 along the lot line described in their land contract. Since the date, both adjoining property owners have used their respective properties as if the fence line were their common lot line, so both property owners have now agreed to adjust the common property line to reflect the legal description in the land contract and the respective owners' use thereafter. The properties are zoned R5, Urban Single Family Residential District, and both lots will continue to exceed the minimum lot area of 10,000 square feet as required by the R5 district. The lot line adjustment conforms with both the Land Division and Development Control Ordinance as well as the zoning ordinance, and all property owners agree and are requesting to have the lot line adjusted between the properties.
Move approval of the lot line adjustment.
Second.
Motion and a second for approval of lot line adjustment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item B, receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider approval of master conceptual plan for the construction 5,800 square foot synagogue to be known as Shabbat of the Kenosha.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for the master conceptual plan for the Shabbat of Kenosha. This is at the request of Mark Eberle. They're looking for a 5,800 square foot synagogue as a place of worship. The project initially was advanced to the village board in December of 2017. The board at that time approved a comprehensive plan amendment as well as a Prairie Lake neighborhood plan amendment for the project. This evening, they are requesting the master conceptual plan. A few modifications were made since that last discussion. There is no additional connection to 88th Avenue, and their main connection is going to be going through the property owned by the Village of Pleasant Prairie north towards 68th Street. As you know, the synagogue, which is approximately 5,800 square feet, will include a social hall, library, classroom, offices, kosher kitchen, mikvah for ritual, immersion, and will include two guest stay rooms. The synagogue will typically be open to the public between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., with main activities and worship being on Saturday mornings between 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Any evening classes that would be held on the property would end before 9 o'clock p.m. The existing home and detached garage are intended to remain on the property and can be used for the clergy, caretaker, or a place for members to spend the weekend due to religious driving restrictions. What we've indicated to them is that the home cannot be rented separately to another family that is not part of the property because it is intended to be an integral part of the planned development of this particular project. To the east of this development is a series of wetlands and conservancy areas, and those areas, for the most part, will remain untouched. There's a small area, as you can see, that will be filled in order to gain access to 68th Street, and a wet retention basin will be created to the south. There's a future two-story residence that is anticipated to be constructed as a parsonage home. The future 2,400 to 3,500 square foot parsonage home would be for the clergy. It's anticipated that they would have one full-time and four part-time employees. The prayer halls proposed to have regular seating for up to 50, although on special occasions they could seat up to 100 people. This is just a brief floor plan of the synagogue building, again, that we just discussed. And then, as shown in the site plan, the parsonage home is to the rear of the existing home and garage on the property. Outlot 1 of the CSM is owned by the village. Again, this is an area that collects stormwater from portions of 88th Avenue and 68th Street and outlets into the wetlands to the south southeast of the village's property. There'll be 25 parking spaces and 2 handicapped accessible parking spaces, and additional parking is being provided at each of the 2 homes for additional overflow parking. One of the things we talked about at the Plan Commission meeting is that public infrastructure does need to be extended to service the property. Municipal water will be extended in 88th Avenue in the future as part of the Wisconsin DOT Highway 50 reconstruction project. The village is intending to extend this municipal water in advance of the Highway 50 project. However, the water main is really dependent on when the DOT's project moves forward, because they will be completing the necessary acquisition for right-of-way, which will be needed for us to be able to install the municipal sewer, the municipal water. Properties fronting the water main extension, including this property, will have a special assessment as for their associated frontage costs. So as you can see, there is quite a bit of an extension of that municipal water north of 74th, going all the way north to this property and along with getting that service to other properties in this particular area. The land use plan amendment, this is an institutional governmental land use for this particular property. The areas that are now designated as wetlands will be moved into that other open space category. Dimensional variations, as they're requesting through the PUD, include to reduce the setback for the wetlands for the parking area from the required 25 feet to 10 feet, and to reduce the side setback to the north so that the reduction can be going from 25 feet to 15 feet. Again, there's a village lift station, sanitary sewer lift station, that accesses off of 68th Street, just at that east side of 88th Avenue, and that will remain intact for the property. They've presented some initial concept drawings for their building. Again, we are continuing to work through their project. The community benefits that they've identified would be to reduce the monument sign not to exceed 5 feet in height, to enhance some of their building design with greater architectural aesthetics, to provide additional landscaping on the site, to equip the main building with fire sprinkler system, and to install and maintain a DSIS system for the property. So with that, the Village Plan Commission recommended conditional approval of the conceptual plan for Chabad, subject to the comments and conditions. Again, one of the things to note is that one of the specific public infrastructure items that they must have in order for this to develop is the municipal water. They do intend to develop the site in 4 different phases, so it should not impact them too significantly as long as that project begins in the next 2 years.
Gene, what is the building makeup going to be? What the materials used?
Right now, they're showing like CMU or concrete block for the building. And I'm not sure about the other vertical. I think that is vertical siding. So we are working with them on a couple of different things with respect to their materials. The intent is to have it blend in a little bit with the residential character of the neighborhood.
If that second building develops at some point, how does that impact the current house and garage that are on property?
So they have multiple options, one of which is to split off and create a certified survey map and detach it from the rest of the property. Another option is, as part of the PUD, to have multiple buildings related to the synagogue and its property, such as having another members of the parish or caretakers or somebody else that occupies that particular structure as well as the back building for the clergy.
So there could be two residences on the property
inside
the PUD?
There could be as part of a PUD, and because this is an institutionally zoned property in an institutional land use, and there's no restriction on the number of buildings that you could have on that property.
Okay. Gina, I would encourage you to work with them on a little bit more of a character of the building that they're proposing. It looks a little bit plain.
And they understand. I mean, it's not intended to begin for a couple of years yet, so we will work with them.
Okay. I move approval of the master conceptual plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item C, and item C is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation. Consider approval of Resolution 1911 to initiate a zoning text amendment to reevaluate specific conditional use permit requirements related to setbacks for utility substations.
Mr. President, members of the board, Resolution 1911 is a resolution to initiate a zoning text amendment. The board can initiate a petition for an amendment to the zoning ordinance, which could also include the rezoning of property or a change in the zoning district boundaries or changes in the text of the ordinance. The village staff is proposing to reevaluate the specific conditional use permit requirements related to setbacks for utility substations. The village board, by this resolution, is only initiating and petitioning the to reevaluate the specific conditional use requirements, and they're requesting then to have the village staff evaluate the text as it pertains to conditional uses and setbacks. And the board is not, by this resolution, making any determination regarding the proposal that we are going to be bringing back to the Plan Commission and to the board for public hearing, but is allowing the process to begin so that the staff can make some recommendations to the conditional use permit requirements.
Gene, what is the definition of a utility substation?
So a utility substation could be anything from a sanitary sewer lift station to a utility substation for AT&T or any other type of utility.
So it's an outbuilding for any
Right. It's an outbuilding. It's accessory. It's a small, it's provisions. It's a building used for utility purposes.
Would this modification support the previous item on the agenda with regards to the lift station location next to the Shabbat property?
It could. However, at this point, we are looking at street yard setbacks, but we mm-hmm. certainly could evaluate it pertaining to side or rear setbacks as well.
Is there any users that are looking for this? Or?
There is one user. The village. We have a couple of grandfathered situations of existing substations. And while we provided some reduced setbacks in the past, we would like to just put a provision in the conditional use permit that can be evaluated on a case-by-case basis with respect to replacement or additional substations so that they could be in similar sight lines and such, as opposed to having one setback much further than another.
Okay. I move approval of Resolution 1911.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item D is to consider the award of contract to Southport Engineered Systems for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning services for various Village of Pleasant Prairie buildings and facilities.
Thank you, Mr. President and board members. Like you just mentioned, tonight before the board is to consider an award of contract for HVAC services for the Village of Pleasant Prairie buildings and facilities. As some brief background, for numerous years, Martin Peterson Corporation has been providing these HVAC services for the village. As an example, it's been doing those services for the RecPlex since its inception and for the Village Hall and the praying facility for the past 20 years. Back in 2012 and 2015, the Village Board did award this contract to Martin Peterson for two-year base contracts. And both of those contracts were awarded for additional year pursuant to a village extension option. So at this time, the contract has expired, and it's time to consider a new contract. So with the expiration of the current Martin Peterson contracts, on March 5th, 2019, the village released RFP number 19-01 for HVAC services for the village various buildings and facilities. The RFP was distributed to 10 HVAC contractors in the greater Kenosha area, and those were Accutent Mechanical, GHC Mechanical, Grinnell Company, Illingworth Kilgris Mechanical, Kenosha Heating and Cooling, Lee Plumbing Heating and Cooling and Electric, Martin Peterson Company, Pieper Electric, Southport Engineered Systems, and United Mechanical, so 10 companies in all. In general, pursuant to the RFP, responses were to provide a proposal to the village for HVAC services for these buildings and facilities, including cost rates for each of the facilities. The HVAC services will include, but are not limited to, equipment installations, renovations, remodels, repairs, preventative maintenance, and the general maintenance of all these HVAC facilities. So the facilities involved to be serviced are the Village Hall, Fire and Rescue Station Number 1, Fire and Rescue Station Number 2, the Recplex, Roger Prang Municipal Building, the Public Works Storage Building, Baby U, Ruck Beach Pavilion, and various sewer facilities, which are lift stations located around the village, and water facilities, including water towers, reservoirs, and booster stations. So in response to the RFP we sent out back in early March, on March 26th, 2019, the village received three proposals. Those are from Illingworth Kilgust in West Allis, Martin Peterson here in Kenosha, and Southport Engineered Systems in Caledonia. So up on the screen and in your memo, I put together a summary and comparison of each of the three responses, and I won't go through it in detail, but it refers to the yearly PM charge. In one of the columns, it talks about the work rates per hour for regular overtime, Sunday, and holiday work, and also emergency work rates per hour for regular OT, Sunday, and holiday work. It talks about material markup costs, response times, subcontractor markups and rates, and also warranties. So based on the three responses that the village received, the village staff did do an internal staff review of the three RFP responses, and the staff believes, based on that, on those proposals, that Southport Engineered Systems is the best qualified, most reasonable candidate at the most responsible cost. I'll go through the reasons for recommending Southport for the HVAC services. Southport offers the lowest annual fee for preventative maintenance at $27,250. Southport offers the lowest standard hourly work rates at $89 per hour and the lowest emergency hour work rates at $116 per hour. It's important to note that if the Village Board does approve Southport, upon the Village and Southport entering into HVAC contracts, Southport's hourly work rates will be $89 across the board. So that means whether it's overtime or regular, it'd be $89 across the board. Moving on, Southport's office is located on I-94 in Caledonia, which is about 30 minutes away. As you know, Martin Peterson Corporation Company is in Kenosha, and Illingworth Kilgus is located in West Allis, about 50 minutes away. And it's important to notice that all three of these companies do have technicians throughout the immediate area. Southport and Martin Peterson have the lowest service response times for emergency service calls at 1 hour. Martin Peterson has the lowest service response time for standard calls at 1 hour. Southport, along with Martin Peterson, offers a 1-year warranty on materials and labor. Southport, along with Martin Peterson, offers a 10% markup on equipment and materials for wholesale rates. And so doing a comparison between the two of the lowest bids, which were Martin Peterson and Southport, I put together a potential savings if Southport were chosen by the Village Board. So you've got Martin Peterson's preventative maintenance fee at $54,700 per year. So if you multiply that by the 2-year contract, that'd be just over $109,000 for the contract term. Whereby Southport, their bid came in at $27,250. So multiply that by 2 years, and their contract term is just over $54,000. So that's a savings of just over almost $55,000 over 2 years per the two proposals. Martin Peterson's work rates are $112, $154, and $195 per hour, again, based on regular overtime and holiday work. And they do offer, as in their past contracts, a 10% preferred customer reduction in those costs. Whereby Southport's work rates, as I mentioned earlier, are a flat $89 per hour. So, again, the savings on a per-hour basis would be, if the Village Board were to choose Southport, would be $23 per hour savings, $65 per hour savings and $106 per hour savings. So based on the three RFPs submitted, and for the reasons I just gave, the village staff recommends that the village board award a base contract to Southport Engineered Systems as the lowest responsible bid in the amount of $27,250 for the provision of HVAC services for the village. The village administrator is further authorized to execute necessary and reasonable additions and subtractions to this contract for fees, expenses, or additional work and or service requested. Again, Southport Engineered Systems is recommended for $27,250 base. I realize that the village has been with Martin Peterson for quite a long time, like I said, and there probably will be a learning curve should the board approve Southport Engineered Systems. I know we did have the gentleman in from Southport in last week. He toured the Recplex with Mr. Patrizzi and Sandro, and so he was shown the Recplex, which is our most complicated system, obviously, and he gave every indication that Southport was able to handle the job. So if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Have we ever dealt with Southport in the past?
I believe we have, but to the details of that, I don't know. There you go. The new Station 1 HVAC.
And no problems, Craig? Significant cost savings here. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I think, based on the information that Tom's presented, I think it's Southport is the lowest and most responsible bidder, and I think, we're obligated to award that contract to Southport Engineered Systems for the base amount of $27,250 plus the hourly amounts as specified in the contract.
How does it work if they don't respond within an hour on the emergency, only because they're in Caledonia instead of Kenosha?
I think in the past there have been some wiggle room on that. I think I know Martin Peterson's been some responsive for the their one-hour time frame, but I think there needs to be a little gray area there, and I think they'd be very responsive.
Okay.
Just to add to that, if I could add one more thing, we had a call for to a reference of Southport, and that was Frederick South Hospital. They actually switched from Martin Peterson not long ago to Southport, and Peter Molter at Frederick had nothing but good things to say about Southport. He mentioned they'd so far had a cost savings. He's estimating at about 40% going from Martin Peterson to Southport. Now, I'm sure there's also the other side of the coin that someone could tell you a different story regarding Southport and Martin Peterson and a switch, but we did get a positive recommendation from Pete Molter at Frederick South Hospital.
Was that a motion, Mike?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to item E, and that is consider and approve the letter of credit reduction number 2, and this is for the cottages at Village Green, LLC, Phase 2.
Mr. President, members of the board, this evening I bring before you the LLC reduction number 2 for the cottages generally located just to the north of 165, a little bit west of 39th Avenue.
Get the next slide.
The work that we are approving LLC reduction for is mainly water main, storm sewer with a little bit of public grading and right of way. Total amount of the request was just over $318,000 per the developer's agreement. We do hold a 10% retainage for any warranty work that needs to be done, which would leave a total amount dispersed of $286,335.05. So I am recommending that reduction to the letter of credit at this time, and I can answer any questions you may have.
So move.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item F, and that is consider resolution number 19-10, and it's designating April 14th through the 20th of 2018. I think that should be 2019, correct? 2019 as National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. Chief?
Bless you. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board.
This week, April 14th to the 20th, has been designated across the country to honor National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. We are fortunate in the Village of Pleasant Prairie to have 8 dedicated, thanks to you, full-time dispatchers who work in this center around the clock and around the calendar. They service not only the needs of the police department, but the fire department and the off-hour alarm monitoring for public works. You know you're a good speaker when half your audience leaves right before you get up there. So I knew that was going to happen. Luckily for them, I asked them if they wanted to speak. They said no. But I'd also recognize Fire Chief Repke and Public Works Director Steinbrink as recipients of the service that this dynamic group of employees serves. I'd also like to recognize their representative here tonight, Ashley Busser, and her kids. Those are not new dispatchers. Those are her kids. Just identify how lucky we are in the village to have these group of employees who kind of go as the voice of the village. They're not seen. They're not recognized. You know, no one dresses up as a dispatcher for Halloween. But they probably should for as much work as they put through. So if you would, I would ask for your consideration on this resolution tonight.
Now, Chief, people don't realize the amount of stress associated with a dispatcher's job. When that phone rings, they have no idea when they pick it up what's on the other end. You see the paper all the time on the things that are happening all across the country, including our own village. Homicides, bad accidents, medical conditions, fires. Dispatchers are special, and they don't get the recognition that they really deserve because of the amount of work that they do and what they have to put up with.
I would certainly agree with that. I think their communication skills need to be perfect. I don't think we demand professionalism. You're never going to get perfection, but this group of employees comes as close to that as I've seen. So,
with that, I would move approval of Resolution 1910.
We have a motion and a second, and I think for as long as I can remember, our dispatchers have made our village and town unique from other towns and villages throughout the county. And they're the reason we can be responsive to so many things, as you say, whether it's police, fire, rescue, or public works, emergencies. And having them there 24 hours a day is just unbelievable. And I couldn't imagine functioning without our own public dispatch.
I couldn't either. They had a personal touch to public safety.
Question and a second.
Any further discussion?
If I could just add real quick, you know, there's probably nothing more frustrating than not being at the scene and yet having to maintain a level of control and maintain the communication line of communication. I know just with my toddlers, sometimes trying to maintain control, and I'm there at the scene, and it's frantic. I want to commend our employees and our staff, and also recognize the village board and thank them for the modification that we made this year in moving from part-time to full-time. I think that was a wise move and beneficial for the organization as a whole and these employees as a whole.
I agree. They represent the village very well. All my years, I can count maybe on one hand the time there was a problem with how the public was treated. So, and I agree, we've always wanted to, not maybe always, but for quite a long time, we wanted to make that full time, and I'm really glad that happened this year. So, I fully support Resolution 1910.
And we think back to what dispatch began as and what we now require of these folks to do.
Yeah.
And the advances we've made in all of our departments, and it's their responsibility to make sure these things happen, and they do.
Just for point of reference, in my history with the police department, I can honestly say one of the best dispatchers we've ever had was Chris Keckler's father. Outstanding. Calm, cool, intelligent, articulate. Can you imagine what would have happened if the phone rings with an emergency and the dispatcher gets as excited as the person that's on the other end? You can't say enough about what the job they do. Right. And his dad was one of the best.
Just the way he was at home, right?
Yeah. Enough practice, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to school with Chris's dad, and he's a great guy.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, we have a motion, a second, I believe.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item G, consider various boards and commission appointments.
So in your packet, you have the list of commissions and appointments for this coming year. I won't belabor it. Well, I probably should read into the record those that we're recommending. So for the Plan Commission, Mike Polakoff, Wayne Kessel, Judith Giuliana, John Skalbeck, and Brock Williamson. Both of them will serve as alternate, or John Skalbeck and Brock Williamson will serve as alternates. Their term will begin May of this year, and then the alternates will extend to 2020, and those who were regulars or full-time would be a two-year term. Hopefully that was clear enough. The record's going to be a little confuddled, I'm afraid. But anyways, in the Park Commission, we're presenting Mickey Day, William Mills, and Brock Williamson for a two-year term till 2021, and then Jim Bandura as alternate one and Chris Billick as alternate two, and their term will be until 2020. For the Board of Review, Bill Morris serving until 2024. Police and Fire Commission will be Larry Nelson, who will serve until 2024. And then Becky, I'm going to not do her last name correctly, but Matoska Mentink, she'll be serving until 2022. She is replacing the vacancy of Christine Genther, who resigned earlier this year. And then for Board of Appeals, Dwayne Pinnon, Sammy Lancia, and Dragan Abravdovich, they'll be serving until 2022. Those are the commission appointments that are being presented this evening.
Move approval of the appointments to the committees for the terms listed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 8, Village Board comments. One note, if you read the obituaries, Ray Resch passed away, and Ray was one of our really dedicated poll workers who has been with us a long time. And we miss his passing, and between him and Roberta Anderson, they were a lively team at the polls and kept things moving. So, him and Roberta did a lot of traveling in the last few years, and Ray was a great guy, and he's going to be missed. So, anything else for the good of the
league? I have one comment. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion a second for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries.